Greetings through the precious name of Jesus. I was thinking of a couple different possibilities for messages for today. And I'd been thinking of that, of course, sometime earlier, and knowing that I was on the schedule. And then I came to realize that the young people would not be here, and a few of the adults. And it just came to me, well, you know, what I was thinking about preaching, I'd like for everybody to hear, And so I got to thinking a little bit, and I said, well, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to preach something, especially to the parents. And once in after that, in opening my Bible, it came to a certain place. And it seemed like, hey, this is something that it's in the scripture. It's an example for parents. And it seemed the Lord led me to this. I've never preached a message just quite like this before. But we'll look at it together. Now, if you're not a parent, it's like in most messages, there's something there that's good for all of us. Normally that's the case. You realize that. What I would like to do before I give the title is to look at four passages, just four or five verses, actually, several verses at one place maybe. But look at four places. And this could be somewhat of a quiz, okay? And whoever gives the right answer is the winner, of course. But I would like to look at these four places, and then you tell me what you see there that is almost the same, very similar, or about the same in all four places, okay? So, Genesis 31. Genesis 31 and verse 55. As you can see, that's the last verse of the chapter, verse 55 of 31. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Genesis 46. In verse 46:29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Chapter 48, Genesis 48, and verse 10, 48:10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. The fourth place is in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. Luke 15 and verse 20. And And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, what is about the same in all four places? Oh, I didn't realize this was so hard.
Love and compassion.
Okay. How was it expressed?
Physical affection.
That's exactly right. The title of the message is this: Hug Your Children. Hug your children. Well, we've read those four places already. The one we will take time to expound on here in a little bit, but I would like to look at several other places. So you can take your Bible and turn with me, but maybe I would just say this before we look at these other places. Children are children. Parents are children. Need the kind of approval which is transmitted through physical touch. God made us that way. And for some reason, in some settings or some, it's not the physical, the touching, the physical affection, the hugging, the kissing is void in some situations. And all of you, you know, you would say, well, yeah, you know, little babies, you know, you have to hold them, of course. You mean they can't help themselves, so mothers have to help them. But then when does that time come when for some reason that's not important anymore? And as we have just seen in just these four places, apparently, the ones participating in that saw it as important. Embracing, falling on your neck, on their neck, that's an expression that's used. Hugging. Sometimes it just talks about embracing. Sometimes it talks about just kissing, but there's a physical touching, we'll just say, a physical connection in any case. Actually, the word kiss, which is used many times in the scriptures, if you just look up in a Strong's Concordance, you'll see this, but It's more than just simply two places of the face contacting each other. It's more than that. I mean, you know that. Okay, so we the New Testament, we take it as a doctrine, the holy kiss. And so we believe the Bible teaches that, you know. So is it right that we should have that between brothers and between sisters, but somehow, for some people, it seems, but not your grown children, you know? Well, what sense does that make, you know, first of all? The second thing is this. How would it be to just kiss somebody, but make sure you don't touch them anywhere else, you know? just face to face, and don't touch anything else. You know, that wouldn't hurt. It would actually, you might fall into each other or something. It wouldn't be practical. Okay. So what I'm saying, if you even look in a Strong's Concordance, you'll see that kiss is more than just what I already said, two places on the face coming close together. But it includes. Touching somewhere else, either a hand, and naturally, what else would that be? Either shaking of the hands or a hug, and of course, the Bible uses the word embrace various times. It uses on the term falling on one's neck various times, and we'll just use the word in our modern day hug. Okay, hug your children, hug your children. They need that. Let's look at a few other places before we go on. So you can take your Bible and turn with me to these things. Genesis 27, we'll just take these pretty much in order. And we looked at several, but I'd like to point out several more. Genesis 27 and verses 26 and 27. 27 chapter and the verses 26 and following. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and so forth. Okay, so there, Isaac blesses his son Jacob. And it included a kiss. By the way, I might as well give the homework assignment now. You can be thinking about it. Okay. Meaningful touch. Meaningful touch was important in nearly all of the blessings in the scriptures. Now, you might find in some concordance or Bible study a section or a section or a chapter or something on blessings in the Bible and blessings that were given in the scriptures. And all of them, or nearly all of them, included some physical touch. Okay? So that would be something you could do sometimes as a project. So how would you, if you can't find something that's talking about all the blessings of the Bible, there's another way you could find it. You could look in your Bible, in a concordance on kissing, on embracing, on laying on of hands. Okay? Kissing, embracing, laying on of hands. Those three things, they're all in the scriptures. And see what they are associated with. And normally they are associated with or oftentimes they are associated with giving a special blessing. Okay. So you could just, make a list of those things, the blessings of the scriptures and how that physical touch was a definite part of it. Okay, so we just read where Isaac blessed his son Jacob, and a kiss was included there. In chapter 29, Genesis 29, verse 13, 29:13. Here's Uncle Laban. He is the uncle to Jacob, so we call him Uncle Laban here. Verse 29, chapter 29 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. So there was Uncle Laban hugging and kissing his nephew Jacob. In chapter 33 and verse 4. 33:4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Now, that little short verse kind of says it all in one there. Embraced him, we'll say he hugged him. He fell on his neck. Again, he hugged him and kissed him. And in this case, they also wept. That's Jacob and that's Jacob and Esau. That's two brothers there. Okay, chapter 45. And now we're getting to Joseph. Chapter 45 and verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Okay, there again, using that phrase, up on their neck. In other words, they got really close. You know, they hugged. Okay, they hugged each other. Verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Look at the book of Ruth. Okay, so we have Joshua, Judges, and then the book of Ruth. Sometimes it's kind of hard to find Ruth, you know, but Joshua, Judges, Ruth, that little book. And chapter 1. So in this case, we have Mother Naomi relating to her daughters-in-law, her two daughters-in-law. Ruth chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Again, I already said, I don't want to, but, you know, sometimes it just uses the word kiss. It doesn't say anything more. But can you imagine mother and her daughters-in-law somehow getting their lips close together, but none of the other part of their body? No, of course not. Now, you can imagine the scene here. I'm sure there was embracing. There was falling up on each other's neck, and there was kissing. Okay, and that's what it says in verse 9. And then in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Luke chapter 7. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. We actually have some response of Jesus to kissing in this case. Luke chapter 7. By the way, there's another response that I meant to read earlier and I didn't, but I'll certainly read it here in just a moment. But let's first look at Luke chapter 7. And verse 38, Luke 7:38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You know the story there, this woman doing this to Jesus. Now, look at Jesus' response in verse 45. Verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss. Talking to those that were wondering about him and allowing this to happen. This is what he said in verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. So, Jesus was saying, basically there, you know, that's good what she did. Let's look at one more, and then I'll mention about one I missed concerning Jesus, but let's look at one more yet. Acts chapter 20, Acts in chapter 20. And this is verse 37. So Paul was with the church elders, some of the church elders, and he was getting ready to leave, and they realized they may not see him again. Acts chapter 20 and verse 37. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Ecclesiastes says, a time to embrace. There is a time to embrace. Now, the one I missed is in Mark chapter 10. And we must look at that. Mark chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 13 to 16. Mark 10, 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. If Jesus hugged the children, dear parents, you must. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, dear people, do you think if a 10-year-old girl came up to Jesus in this setting, he would have said, sorry, dear, you're getting too old. I seriously doubt it. But he would have shown his affection to her also. He took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. That physical connection says something. Now, I said children need the approval that is transmitted physically through touching. Let me continue with a thought here. So mothers and babies. I did say something about that. The connection, and you new mothers, when you go to certain classes about taking care of your babies, if you're a new mother, you know they have classes, and they teach you the importance of that physical closeness, and the importance of taking time to hold that baby, and that holding that baby, that physical touch, does something that baby, of course, can't explain. But the medical world can. You know, there's something how we were created, that physical touch, you know, the baby becomes used to your touch, your holding, your smell, and that's so important. And new mothers, if they don't know that, they need to learn that, and so they teach them that. There was once a father that had a habit of, when he put his little boy to bed, he would take him to bed and he would kiss him goodnight. After some time, the little boy thought he wasn't sure. He thought maybe he was getting too big for his father to always kiss him goodnight. And so he said something to his father about it. And the father said, well, son, Maybe I could do something different. Would it be okay if I would just like squeeze your shoulder when you go to bed? And the son said, sure, that'd be fine. So for some period of time, when the little boy would go to bed, the father would just squeeze his shoulder and say good night. And then one time, the father forgot to squeeze his shoulder. And the father was leaving the room, and the boy said, Dad, is there something wrong? And Dad said, no, what do you mean? Well, you didn't squeeze my shoulder. And that's all it took. You know, the dad realized the importance of his touch to the son. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I would like to begin reading at verse 11. Now, you've probably heard enough sermons from this that it's so often called the parable of the prodigal son. But you've probably heard it approached from so different ways, and we should approach it from different ways. There's a lot more in these verses than a lost son. There's so many other things. Well, there's three prominent characters. There's the young son, and there's the older son, and there's the father. And there's a good bit of information on all of them. And so we dare not just run through this and talk about the young son, the one son only. And I'm emphasizing this morning the Father. Luke chapter 15, beginning to read verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey unto a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be at want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son, which was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now we're going to concentrate on verse 20, of course. But even before that, what the young son was saying to himself in this bad state that he found himself in speaks to the goodness of the father. In verse 17, for instance, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? He knew his father, and his father provided well for the servants of the farm. He knew that. And so he said in verse 19, I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He knew if he would be a hired servant to his father, he would be taken good care of. Now let's look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, it's obvious his father was looking. His father was thinking. His father was longing. His father was hoping. That was his father. It says this happened when he was yet a great way off. Not when he came through the yard gate or came through the front door or something. No, no, no. When he was yet a great way off. Like his father was regularly just waiting and hoping and thinking and saying, you know, maybe this will be the day. Maybe. And so his father saw him. And then it says his father had compassion. That's what it says in the verse. His father saw him. Next it says he had compassion. I've already suggested he had compassion all along. He's getting ready to show his compassion in a physical touch. But obviously he had this compassion because he was looking. He was longing. He was waiting. He was thinking. He was hoping. But then it says, yes, he had compassion. And then what did he do next? He ran. He ran. Dear parents, hug your children. Hug your children. You know, while you have them, while they're near, hug them. You know, embrace them. That physical touch is important. And you know, I'll never stand here and tell you at a certain age it's not important anymore. That's not because that's not true. Most of these cases we've looked at were not with little, small children. Most of all these cases we've looked at as examples were adults, pretty much that way. And yet that physical touch, that embracing, that kissing, that hugging, that falling on the neck and so forth was happening, as if this is the thing to do, this is natural, this is good. He ran, the father ran. He couldn't wait to express his affection to his son. And so next the father hugged him, fell on his neck. We'll say that's the hugging part. He hugged him, and then he kissed him, says. That's what it says in verse 20. This is how he showed love in the moment. In that moment, this was important. And that's what this wise father done. Effective parents, I believe, effective parents will use a touch of affection, will use a hug of affection to convey the message of acceptance and love. And our children need this at various times in life. It comes rather easy and natural when they're really little. But what about when they're starting to have to make decisions in life and go through difficult, you know, when they get about 12 or 14 or 16 years old and they're starting to develop in various ways and becoming an adult and making mistakes at doing it and sometimes making the wrong decision? Do you think they need hugs then? They certainly do. They need a special amount of our affirmation in those critical times. And then throughout life, as I already said, many of these examples we looked at were certainly adults doing this, you know, not little children, not even teenagers. We want to look at a couple of songs. The one we will just look at the words, and then the other one we will sing. But children, if I could repeat it again, children, our children, parents, our children need the approval. Somehow we've been made to, you know, in God, we see this in the scriptures, in many of the scriptures we've looked at. God has made us in such a way that physical touch is important. Not just a little infants that we hold in our arm, but yes, it continues as in on up through adulthood, that physical touch. God has somehow designed it and made us that way, that physical touch is important. And it communicates apparently, not apparently, it just does. We know it does. It communicates in a special way. Let's then take our songbooks and turn to number 145. 145, this one we won't sing, but I would just like to look at the words of it just to encourage us and challenge us. It is a prayer, as you can see, Old Master, we're talking. 145. So let me read it, and I'll stop and make a few comments as we go here. Parents, may this be your prayer, okay? O Master of the loving heart, the friend of all in need, we pray that we may be like thee in thought and word and deed. And so we read the example in Mark chapter 10 of Jesus taking the children in his arms and touching them and blessing them. Verse 2, thy days were full of kindly acts. Thy speech was true and plain. So parents, wow, there's so much just in that line right there. Thy days, you know, so we want to be like Jesus, right? Jesus, your days were full of kindly acts, and your speech was true and plain. Could our children say that about us? That our speech to them is true and plain. They understand what we're saying. We always speak the truth, and they speak in a way that we can connect with easily. It's true and it's plain. And no one ever sought thee, Lord, who came to thee in vain. So our children will come to us. In some stages of life, they will come to us more than others. They will come to us. And they will need some attention, and they will need some affection, some loving affection from us. They will need some confirmation from us. You know, once there was this, not once, I'm sure this happens way too many thousands of times, where a little child would come to his father when his father is home from work and he's tired and he wants to look at the newspaper, okay? And so he's sitting in his soft chair and he wants to look at the newspaper now. And little guy comes up and he wants the attention of his dad. And it kind of aggravates the dad. You know, I worked hard all day and I want to read the paper now. And the little fellow comes up and he wants the attention of his dad. And this keeps, and I don't know, you know, the dad might react in various ways. And this is what could happen. The dad could put the newspaper down and hold that little son for 30 seconds or maybe a minute. And by then, the little son is done and he's ready to go and play. And the dad could have spent 30 seconds or a minute with his little son, and it would do all in the world. It would have met his needs. And then the dad could have read the paper. But if you don't take that time and realize that and have wisdom enough to know that that little child needs his touch, needs his arms, then the little boy is not satisfied and the dad's not satisfied. The second verse here, the second line I was reading. And no one ever sought thee, Lord, who came to thee in vain. When our children come to us, will they come in vain? Or will you take time with them and hug them? Verse 3. Thy face was warm with sympathy. Thy hand God's strength revealed. If I could say something there. You know, sometimes our children like to hold on to a strong arm or strong hand. Maybe sometimes we're walking and you just feel like being loose and swinging your arms or something. But your little child would like to hold your hand. There's some connection there they like and appreciate. They feel good about that strong hand of dad or mom. Thy hand, God's strength revealed. Is God's strength the strongness of God coming through in you to your children, you see? Who saw thy face or felt thy touch were comforted and healed. Is your touch, is your hug, you know your child needs it and wants it. And, you know, are you being Jesus to him? So who saw thy face and felt thy touch, they were comforted and healed. The last verse, oh, grant us hearts like thine, dear Lord, so joyous, true, and free, that all thy children everywhere be drawn by us to thee. Now, the last line, of course, you know what I'm going to say. That all your children, that all my children, let's make it personal, that all my children everywhere be drawn by me to thee. Okay. Are you being God to your children by touching them, by hugging them, by assuring them, by affirming them? You see, that all my children everywhere be drawn by me to thee. Okay, then let's look at one song that we'll use as a closing song we'll sing together. Number 243. We'll sing part of the song. Number 243. And it's one that we have sung before, but we don't sing it too often. And it's pretty much the story of yes, that lost son in Luke 15. But we're especially concentrating today on the hug of the parent, the hug of the father. And so we're just going to sing part of it. What I'd like to do is start with the refrain. As you can see, the refrain is underneath the lines of music there. We'll start with the refrain, then we'll just sing verse 3 and 5. The refrain, and then verse 3 and 5. Okay? And we'll sing the refrain, of course, after the two verses. Okay, I will arise and go to Jesus. That's the refrain. Let's begin with that.